Today's webinar topic is the solo 401k plan. The webinar will begin in approximately 2 minutes. My name is Adam Bergman. I'm an attorney with the IRA Financial Group. If people have questions they want to ask me, feel free to type the questions into the control panel. I will do my best to get to all the questions. If I don't get to everyone's question, I promise I will get to them at a later point. I will provide my email, my contact details, so if I do not cover or address a particular issue, question, or area of concern or interest, you'll always be able to get in touch with me or another attorney at your convenience. Again, today's topic is the solo 401k plan, the ultimate retirement solution for the self-employed. The webinar will begin in about 1 minute. My name is Adam Bergman, and I'm an attorney with the IRA Financial Group, and I'll be spending the next hour or so with all of you discussing the solo 401k plan. We'll wait another minute or so to give some people a chance to join. Again, this webinar is being recorded, so whoever does miss this recording can always access it at any time, free of charge, at our website, irafinancialgroup.com, and listen to this at one's leisure. If people do have questions, please type in the questions in the control panel box. If there are additional questions, I will provide my email, phone number, so people can get in touch with me or another attorney at their convenience. The webinar will begin in about 1 minute. And today's topic is the solo 401k plan. We'll just wait one more minute to begin. We had several hundred people sign up for this webinar, so we're going to let some people join. So we'll start a minute or two after 7. I will spend the next hour or so explaining the solo 401k plan. If people have questions, please enter them into the control panel. I'll do my best to get to everyone's question. If I'm not able to address a question, simply email me or contact me by phone. I will provide my contact details at the end of the webinar. I'll probably save approximately 20 to 25 minutes for questions and answers. Today's webinar is the Solo 401k Plan, the ultimate retirement solution for the self-employed, and we are going to begin now. So what is a Solo 401k Plan? Where does the name come from? Well, solo 401k plan is called a solo 401k plan because it is a 401k retirement plan for the self-employed. Now, the name of the plan comes from the word solo, which means a plan for the self-employed or an individual, and 401k is the section of the tax code that addresses qualified retirement plans. So that's really where the name of the term solo 401k plan comes from. The term solo 401k plan can also be associated with an individual 401k plan, a one-participant 401k plan, as well as a self-directed 401k plan. Solo 401k plans are, as the name suggests, qualified retirement plans for the self-employed or for small business owners with no employees other than themselves. Prior to 2002, the solo 401k plan was not as popular as the SEP IRA or the simple IRA because there were certain options that just were not available, such as the high contributions, which only became available in 2002 with the EGTRA tax law change, the Economic Growth Tax Relief and Reconciliation Act, which really gave the teeth and the popularity to the solo 401k plan. With EGTRA, the EGTRA Act allowed for high contributions, 2012, so it's up to $50,000 if one's under 50, $55,500 if one's over 50. It allowed for the loan feature and allowed for Roth contributions, which we will get into a lot more detail on in the coming minutes. But really it was EGTRA that really started the popularity of the solo 401k plan. Today, it's certainly the most popular retirement plan for the self-employed. There's really no reason not to do a solo 401k plan if you're self-employed. It has far more advantages of when you compare them to a SEP IRA, a regular IRA, Roth IRA, and even a simple IRA. And we'll touch upon some of these advantages shortly. The solo 401k is best suited for business owners that have no employees other than themselves and their spouse, and obviously someone who's self-employed. So who can use a solo 401k plan? Well, as I mentioned, it's really anyone who's self-employed. Sole proprietors, consultants, independent contractors, doctors, dentists, lawyers, contractors, real estate agents. If you have your own business and you have no employees other than yourself, you can do a solo 401k plan. And as I mentioned, it can be adopted by a sole proprietorship, and it could also be adopted by any business, an LLC, corporation, partnership, C-Corp, S-Corp. You're not required to form an entity to adopt a plan, and you're certainly not required to be a sole proprietor to adopt a plan. It's open to any business type so long as two eligibility requirements are present, and we'll touch upon this in a minute. So it's really open to most people who are self-employed. The nice thing about the solo 401k plan is you can roll in retirement funds into your plan, existing retirement funds, like an IRA, SEP, a simple, 401k, a 403, a 457. The only type of retirement plan that cannot be transferred in is a Roth IRA. That's the only type of retirement plan that cannot be transferred into a 401k. So who's eligible for a solo 401k? There's really two requirements. Number one, the business needs to have some presence of self-employment activity, meaning there needs to be some potential for profit. Someone who's retired, someone who's sitting on a beach, not working and doesn't have any business activity or self-employment activity is not eligible to adopt a plan. It's really for a business. Now, the business does not have to be a large business. It doesn't have to be a $1 million business. It could be a new business, but there needs to be the presence of self-employment activity. We'll touch upon that on the next slide about what that really means. Number two, there needs to be no full-time employees. Okay, so other than the owners, of course. So if you're a business owner, sole proprietor, of course you can be the sole employee. That's why it's called a solo 401k plan. If you're a C corp, an LLC, you or a spouse or a third party can be owners of the business and participate in the plan, but no third-party employee, full-time employee, can be present in order to adopt the solo 401k plan. So let's talk about self-employment activity. It essentially means any type of activity that is being operated through a business that has no full-time employees. Now, there's no established threshold for what profit means. You don't have to be a $1 million business. You don't necessarily have to be a $20,000 business. There needs to be some potential for profit. So a new business that just started off, that maybe really doesn't have a lot of business activity, if there is a legitimate expectation of profit, it could adopt a solo 401k. Again, so long as it doesn't have any full-time employees other than the owners. So it's for a new business, an old business, a possible business. As long as the business is started and there is the potential to earn profit and there are no full-time employees, a solo 401k plan can be adopted. So there are a couple exceptions as to what is a full-time employee. First of all, if someone works less than 1,000 hours, they're not deemed a full-time employee. Union employees, they're not deemed full-time employees. Employees under the age of 21 are not deemed full-time employees for purposes of whether someone is covered by the solo 401k plan. And same with non-resident aliens, basically foreigner employees. So as long as you have employees that work under 1,000 hours or under 21 or unionized or foreign, they don't count as to whether you have employees for purposes of determining whether you can do a solo 401k. But the two requirements, again, are you need to have self-employment activity, so some business type of activity that hopefully has the expectation of profit, and there needs to be the absence of full-time employees. So the advantages of solo 401k, why would someone do this? And we'll touch upon each of these categories in more detail. But I'll just briefly describe them right now. High contributions. The nice thing with a solo 401k plan is you can put away a whole lot of money, a lot more than you could with an IRA, a Roth IRA, simple, and even a SEP IRA. You can borrow against your solo 401k. With an IRA, you can't borrow 1 cent. With a solo 401k, you can borrow $50,000 or 50% of your account value, whatever's less. You can make Roth contributions to your 401k. With an IRA, if you're under 50, you can only defer $5,000 in a Roth. Or if you're over 50, $6,000. With a solo 401k, you can make Roth contributions of up to $17,000 if you're under 50 and $22,500 if you're over 50. Obviously a nice advantage. Cost-effective administration. It's very simple and easy to administer a 401k, especially a solo 401k. There's no federal income tax filings, no state tax filings. The only filing requirement is if you have greater than $250,000 in plan assets, fair market value plan assets. You have to file what's called a 5500EZ. It's a short two-page IRS form that's due July 31 of the following year. And another nice advantage is if you do want to use financing to make a real estate acquisition, with an IRA, there is tax on that finance portion, also known as unrelated debt finance income. With a qualified retirement plan like a solo 401k, that's exempted, meaning you won't pay any tax on the non-recourse portion of your financing. So that's also a nice advantage. So let's talk about the contribution limits, because this is probably the most popular reason for doing a solo 401k. Of course, the advantage of putting more in your retirement account is when you put money into your retirement plan, the money grows tax-free. It's tax-deferred. When you don't pay tax as the money accumulates and appreciates, you only pay, in the case of a pre-tax 401k, once you pull out the money and take a distribution. So all that money is accumulating tax-free, which obviously has enormous tax advantages. So in 2012, with a solo 401k, you can defer as an employee up to $17,000, okay, and there's also a $5,500 catch-up if you're over 50, and then there's a profit-sharing component. So let me back up for a second. If you are under the age of 50, you can make a total contribution to your solo 401k of $50,000. If you're over 50, that contribution goes up to $55,500 because there's a $5,500 catch-up. So there's two components to that number. So how do you get to that number? There's two components. There's the employee elective deferral, which will allow an employee to elect to defer up to $17,000 with a $5,500 catch-up, or $22,500, if that person's over 50. Now, number one, there's no requirement to make contributions. You don't have to make contributions to your plan. It's obviously a great thing, but you're not required to do so. Number two, the employee elective can be in pre-tax, meaning you get a federal income tax deduction. You still pay state tax and self-employment tax, but you get a federal income tax deduction. Number two, you can make that contribution in pre-tax or Roth. Roth means after tax. So the advantage of pre-tax is you get a tax deduction. With a Roth, you don't get the tax deduction, but once you've turned 59.5 and have had the Roth account open 5 years, you can pull that money out tax-free. That's obviously a nice advantage. So that's the employee deferral side. Now there's the profit-sharing side, which if you are self-employed or a single-member LLC, will allow you to defer 20% of your compensation, not the total profit to the company, but your compensation. And we'll go through an example in a minute. Or if you're in a C, an S corp, or a multiple member LLC, 25% of your compensation up to an aggregate total, including the employee elective deferral, the 17 or 22.5 of $50,000 if one's over 50, if one's under 50, and $55,500 if one's over 50. So let's take an example. Let's say someone earned $100,000 as a sole proprietor. They can defer $17,000 if they're under 50, plus 20% of the $100,000, their compensation, giving you a total of $37,000 for that year. If they're over 50 and they want it to max out, they can make an employee elected deferral of 22.5 with a 20% profit sharing contribution, or 20,000 based on our example, for a total of 42.5. So as you can see, you can make contributions in high numbers and you can start building for your retirement plan very quickly. So that's obviously a very nice advantage. The benefits, as you can see in this little table, with a traditional or Roth, you can only do 5 or 6. SEP IRA, only get a percentage of your amount. Simple 2, you only get a certain amount, 11.5. With the 401k, you get the employee elective and the profit sharing. So let's take one simple example to show the benefits of a solo 401k versus a SEP, because a lot of people think a SEP offers more advantages, and that's not the case. If you made $100,000 and you were self-employed, let's say, you can do 20% on your SEP, or 20% of $100,000 or $20,000. With a solo 401k, remember, you have the employee elective deferral and the profit-sharing component. So with the employee elective deferral, if you're under 50, you can do $17,000 plus the 20% of your comp, which is $37,000. Compared to the 20 with the SEP, obviously you see the advantage. Now, even a greater advantage, if you're over 50, SEP IRA doesn't have a catch-up. So there's no $5,500 catch-up. So if you're over 50 with a solo and you're self-employed and you made $100,000, you can do 22.5 plus a 20% profit-sharing contribution, or $20,000, giving you $42,500 versus only a $20,000 contribution with a SEP. So you can see right away the enormous advantages of doing a solo 401k over a SEP IRA. That's even without the ability to do a loan or do Roth contributions. So that's obviously, you know, one reason why the solo plan is so popular. The loan feature, that's also a very popular feature of the solo plan. As I mentioned, with an IRA, you can't even borrow a penny from your IRA. That would be a prohibited transaction, which we'll touch upon briefly in several minutes. With a solo 401k, Section 72P, the Internal Revenue Code, allows one to borrow $50,000 or 50% of their account value, whatever's less. And the loan can be used for any purpose, personal, to buy a car, go on vacation, buy jewelry, pay medical bills, school bills, whatever you want, for business purposes, to invest in your own business, do whatever you want. The IRS doesn't limit what you can do. The only requirements they impose is that it's a loan, so it does have to get paid back, and it has to get paid back over a 5-year period. Now, if it's for a principal residence, it could be a 15-year period, but it's a 5-year period typically. The loan has to be paid back at least quarterly, and if you have a payroll system, biweekly, weekly, monthly, however you get paid, over 5 years at an interest rate of at least prime as per the Wall Street Journal. And prime today is 3.25%. It's been like that for a few years. So you have the ability to use the prime rate, which is the lowest interest rate you can use. And you can certainly go all the way up to a higher interest rate so long as you don't violate usury laws with your state. And one reason for doing a higher interest rate is you get to push more money into your plan, because there's more interest payments going into your plan. That, I guess that strategy would be used for someone who's maxing out already and wants to put more money in their plan. Most people do this loan because they want to get cheap access to their money. This is a tax-free loan. You don't pay tax on the loan. If you don't make your loan payments, the entire loan amount is treated as a taxable distribution, subject to tax and penalties if you're under 50. So you want to make sure you can, if you do a loan, you can pay it back. The loan package is part of the plan docs. If you work with the IRA Financial Group, we'll help you do that. The attorney you're working with will help you complete the loan kit quick. It takes about 5 minutes. You simply write yourself a check. As a plan administrator, you approve the loan. The loan, as I mentioned, can be used for any purpose, and it essentially is a really nice use and really the only way you can get your retirement funds tax-free and use them for any purpose. Roth contributions, another important advantage of a solo 401k compared to a SEP or an IRA. As I mentioned, with a regular IRA, you can only do 5,000 Roth contribution if you're under 50, 6 if you're over 50. Again, there's some income restrictions. With a solo 401k, you can make Roth contributions of up to 17 if you're under 50, 22.5 if you're over 50. There are no income restrictions. So if you want to do a Roth, you can push a lot more into your solo 401k than you could with an IRA. Also, as of 2010, one is able to convert a pre-tax 401k into a after-tax Roth 401k. So what that means is if you're rolling money into your 401k, you have the ability to convert that into an after-tax Roth 401k. Now, the downside of that, obviously, is you got to pay the tax on the conversion. But the positive side on that is that once it's in a Roth account, once you hit 59.5, the Roth's been open 5 years, you can then pull out that money tax-free. So you can use that to live on and just pull out whatever you want tax-free. So that's obviously a nice advantage. Cost-effective administration. The nice thing with the solo plan, it can be open to any local bank. You don't need a special IRA custodian like you do with a self-directed IRA. It can be open at any local bank, Chase, Wells Fargo, even Fidelity, credit unions. Essentially opening a trust checking account, really simple. You don't have to pay high custodian fees or typically any custodian fees. You serve as the trustee of the plan. You, typically the plan participant, the owner of the business, will serve as a trustee. There could be co-trustees, spouses, friends, lawyers, accountants. So you have those benefits, kind of same thing like a manager in a self-directed IRA. The only difference is you don't need an LLC and you're the trustee. So it's very cost-effective, open to any local bank. As I mentioned, there's no LLC filing return, state, federal. This is a trust, so it has no entity filing requirements. Since it's a tax-exempt plan, a 401k is tax-exempt under 401, it doesn't require you to file, for example, a grant or trust return. The only filing requirements you would have is a 5500EZ if your plan assets are in excess of $250,000. If they're below 250, there's no annual filing requirements, no information returns. The 5500EZ form is really just, it's like a IRS form 5498 for the IRA. It's really just a form that gives the IRS an idea in terms of the value of the plan. It doesn't describe investments. It doesn't detail any of that. It just really provides values. So really something simple and something that's due July 31 of the following year. And that's something if you work with the IRA Finance Group, we would help you complete that. Exemption from UDFI. I'm not going to go into this in much detail because this is a topic in itself for another webinar, which I will get to. But just note that with an IRA, and if you use non-recourse financing, there is a potential tax on the non-recourse portion. With a solo 401k, that's exempted. So there's no tax on the non-recourse financing. How it works. So how does a solo 401k work? So there's basically a number of components. Number one, there's the plan that needs to be established. There's the new 401k account that can be established at any local bank. And in the case of people rolling their retirement funds into this new plan, there's an existing custodian. And then ultimately, there's a final investment, whether that's stocks, mutual funds, or real estate. One important thing I want to mention that I didn't get to is that the nice thing, there are all different types of solo 401k plans. Okay, you can get one at Schwab, Fidelity, E-Trade, and they'll give you a solo plan. They may not give you the Roth feature or the loan feature, but they're certainly not going to give you the checkbook control feature. And that's probably one of the nice features of the IRA Financial Group plan that sets it apart from a lot of the other plans. Now, their plans can give you that option. They just don't want to give it to you because Schwab, for example, or E-Trade is not going to make money when you buy real estate. So even though it's allowed by law, their documents will restrict those investments. And they're perfectly allowed to do that. It's in their right. Our documents have a very, very broad section when it comes to permissible investments. As long as you can do it under IRS rules, you can do it through the plan. So it's extremely broad. It gives you checkbook control, but in addition to that, it really gives you an almost unlimited investment world of opportunities, from real estate, tax liens, precious metals, stocks, mutual funds, peer-to-peer loans, investments into private businesses. Again, as long as it's not prohibited, and we'll touch upon the prohibited transaction rules in a few minutes, you can do it. Okay, so number one, how to adopt a solo 401k. We touched on this. You need to meet the eligibility requirements. You need to have some self-employment activity and can't have full-time employees. So once you hit those eligibility requirements, you can adopt a plan. Establishing a plan is really as easy as just establishing the new plan by signing several new plan documents that IRA Financial Group or the sponsor of the plan will help you do. You should make sure when you're working with someone that you're working with attorneys. This is a qualified retirement plan. It's based off Section 401 of the tax code. It's important to work with attorneys or accountants, professionals who aren't just, you know, salespeople or advisors, but actually have a tax background. Why? Because this is a retirement plan. This is where you're going to be hopefully putting a lot of your hard-earned money, and you need to know the rules. It's crucial. There's rules for when you can make contributions, obviously. There's even rules when you can take distributions, and there's a lot of traps for the uneducated. So it's important to work with professionals. You also want to make sure you get a tax opinion. Okay, the IRS will sponsor prototype plans, meaning they will sponsor these plans and allow companies like IRA Financial Group to work with clients in the understanding that the plan has been pre-approved. So this way the clients that adopt these plans or the businesses have the guidance and the insurance that their plan is pre-approved, and they don't have to worry about the IRS knocking on their door and asking them where they got their plan, because they should have an IRS opinion letter, and as long as they don't engage in a prohibited transaction, they got nothing to worry about. So number two, if you are rolling existing retirement plans and funds into the plan, and as I mentioned, you can do so as long as you are not rolling a Roth IRA in, IRA Financial Group or your tax professional should help you roll that money into the plan. It needs to be done properly. The reason is if it's not done properly and the custodian doesn't fill out the proper paperwork and complete the 1099-R properly, the IRS may think it's a taxable distribution, not a rollover, and then that will cause you an audit. So you want to make sure that you're working with professionals who can help you do the rollover tax-free in a proper manner. The investments. So once your money is rolled into your plan or you've made contributions into your plan account, as you can open this account, as I mentioned, at any local bank, credit union, or even Fidelity, you'll be able to make investments. As I also mentioned, the nice thing with IRA Financial Group plan is that you can do the investments you want to do when you want them. The IRS allows you to buy real estate, allows you to buy precious metals, allows you to invest in private businesses. Certain custodians like Schwab doesn't have to offer you that opportunity, but it is legal, and our plan docs allow it. It's clearly stated in the plan doc under the permissible investment section, and it's there if you want to do it. So essentially, once your funds are in your new 401k account as trustee, you simply write a check to execute your transaction. It's checkbook control. It's as easy as that. Either you write a check, you wire the funds, you're the trustee, you have control over the funds, the investment will be made in the name of the 401k plan, just like it would be made in the name of the self-directed IRA LLC, all income and gains flow back to the solo 401k plan tax-free. And as I mentioned, our plan is a trustee-directed plan, meaning you as a trustee get to make the investment decisions. You are not restricted by the custodian. So if you take an E-Trade plan, for example, they'll let you buy stocks, mutual funds, their products, and they'll restrict you from buying anything else. A trustee-directed plan gives the trustee, you, the power to make the investments you want. you get to have checkbook control. You have investment opportunities. You can diversify by real estate, tax liens, precious metals. You have the loan feature. You can purchase life insurance. That's another advantage to the 401k compared to an IRA. With an IRA under Section 408 of the tax code, you can't buy life insurance. Solo 401k, you can buy life insurance. I guess the advantage of that is that you use pre-tax contributions to pay your premiums. The 401k would buy the insurance policy, and the beneficiary would be someone else. And, of course, Roth conversions, which most of the traditional custodians will not let you do. With our plan docs, you can make Roth employee deferrals and also convert to a Roth 401k. Purchasing real estate with a solo 401k. Easy. It's with checkbook control. You simply write a check as trustee of the plan to execute your real estate transaction. It's really as simple as that. Title is typically held in the name of the plan or as trustee for the benefit of the plan or as trustee of the plan. So if the plan name is ABC LLC 401k, you can take title in that name or as Adam Bergman as trustee of the ABC LLC 401k. And the title insurance company will work with you to make sure everything's titled properly. But it's really as simple as that. All income and gains will flow back to the solo plan tax-free. It's the owner of the property. As I mentioned, you can use non-recourse leverage. It has to be non-recourse, meaning you cannot personally guarantee the loan. But if you're able to secure non-recourse financing, you won't pay tax on that portion. Fact or fiction, I went through a lot of this. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but one of the areas I wanted to mention is I get this question a lot. If I have a full-time job, can I still have a solo 401k plan? And the answer is yes. As long as you have self-employment income outside of your W-2 job, you can adopt a solo 401k. So, for example, if you work full-time at IBM, but you do some computer consulting on the side, you can adopt a solo 401k plan for your computer consulting business. That business can be in a sole proprietorship, LLC, corporation, partnership. It doesn't matter. The only restriction is, for example, if you're under 50, you can't go above the $50,000. So you can't, so to speak, double dip. You can't put in, you can't max out with IBM and max out with your solo plan. So let's do an example. Let's say you put in the full 17 with IBM as an employee deferral, and you earned $100,000 from your consulting business. Well, you already did the employee deferral with IBM, so the IRS isn't going to let you do that again. They're not that kind. But what they will let you do is the profit sharing component. So they will let you do the 20% of 100, so that will give you 20 into your consulting business plan, and plus the 17 with IBM, that's a total of 37. Also, can you do two loans? And the answer depends. If, for example, you own less than 80% of the business, and I'm assuming you probably would own less than 80% of IBM, so you would can do a loan with them if they offer it, and you would also be able to do a loan with your solo 401k. So technically, you'd be able to borrow $100,000. Now, why I said 80%? There's something called a control group rule. That is, if you own more than 80% of a business, all your businesses which you own more than 80% are grouped together. The IRS did that for obvious reasons. They didn't want people who had employees to just create their own business, set up their own solo plan, and really not provide the employees with full benefits. So the 80% rule is there to say, if you have a number of businesses, some with employees, some with not, and there's a plan out there, everyone participates, because as long as you own more than 80% of all businesses. That's the same thing with a loan. You can't just set up new LLCs to do loans. That doesn't work if you're going to own more than 80% of that business. But if you work for a company like IBM, and you, of course, own less than 80%, you can technically do a loan with them and a loan with your solo plan. Prohibited transactions, I'm going to go through this relatively quickly because I'm going to do another presentation just on prohibited transactions. Essentially, there are several categories of prohibited transactions. Number one, you can't buy collectibles. Collectibles are antiques, rugs, stamps, baseball cards, coins, certain coins, anything, diamonds, cars. You can't buy stock in an S-corp. An S-corporation has very restrictive shareholder requirements. So unfortunately, you can't buy stock in an S-Corp. And big category is you can't invest in any transaction with a disqualified person. And a disqualified person is essentially defined under Section 4975 in the Internal Revenue Code as the trustee or the plan participant and any of that person's lineal descendants, so grandparents, parents, children, spouse, daughter-in-law, son-in-law. Now, the one exemption to this is obviously the solo 401k loan. The loan is exempted from the prohibited transactions under F6 of 4975. So you can borrow up to $50,000 or 50% of your account value without triggering a prohibited transaction. But if you're not doing the loan, you can't take money from your 401k and use it to buy a house, pay a bill, or you can't buy a house with your 401k and rent it to a child or daughter-in-law, son-in-law. Those, unfortunately, are prohibited transactions. I don't want to talk and spend too much time on them, but the most important thing is really stay away from collectibles and buying stock in an S-Corp and any transaction involving a disqualified person, which is the 401k participant, the trustee, and any of his or her lineal descendants, grandparents, parents, children, spouse, daughter-in-law, son-in-law. Some notable exceptions, siblings, brothers, sisters, they're okay. Cousins, aunts, uncles, friends, they are not disqualified persons. So that means you are able to transact with them. So some common prohibited transactions, basically, you know, buying a house and having a disqualified person live in it. A credit card. Okay, this is a good question. A lot of people ask, can I get a credit card with my 401k to buy, you know, to go to Home Depot and buy parts or products for the improvements in the home? The answer is no. Why is it no? Because as a disqualified person, you as the plan participant, cannot personally guarantee the obligation of a 401k, just like you cannot provide services to a 401k. So you can't serve as a realtor on the transaction. You can't build a house. You can't provide any services or guarantee an obligation of the 401k, just as you cannot directly or indirectly benefit from a 401k investment, meaning you cannot have your 401k give you money outside the loan. You can't have your 401k buy a house and live in it. That's obviously a personal benefit. So those are some of the common prohibited transactions. Penalties, the Department of Labor has jurisdiction over 401k plans. Prohibited transaction penalties are steep. There's certainly a tax on all the money. The entire plan is basically deemed disqualified as of January 1 of that year. Pay tax, potential penalty, and the IRS or Department of Labor have the potential to go up to 100% of penalties. So you certainly don't want to do that. That's another reason I think you want to work with tax professionals, hopefully lawyers, because you want to make sure if you are engaging in a transaction, doing real estate or metals, or you want to make sure you're doing things in compliance with IRS rules. You worked hard for this money, and you don't want to jeopardize that by, you know, working with people that don't have the experience. UBTI, unrelated business taxable income, this sometimes creeps into a 401k transaction in a number of ways. Unrelated business taxable income is basically something that was created back in the 50s to prevent businesses from forming charities to do business. The IRS was worried that businesses were going to create charities and operate a business through it and never pay tax. So what they did is created these unrelated business taxable income rules in the 50s, basically Section 511, 512 of the tax code. They basically said, if you're a charity and an IRA and a 401k are grouped together with charities because they're taxed separately, they're not taxed, they're tax-exempt trusts under 501. If you engage an IRA, 401k, or a charity in a business, you can do that, so long as there's no disqualified persons, of course, but you can do that. However, if that business is operated through an LLC or partnership, the business income that flows through back to the 401k or IRA or charity will be subject to a tax, an unrelated business taxable income tax, or UBIT, UBTI. It's a very steep tax, 35%, and that's taxed to the retirement plan or IRA. So you can do it as long as there's no disqualified persons, but you need to be aware of the UBTI rules because that can certainly change, potentially change your obviously your investment goals and potentially your returns. So it's something to consider. IRA Financial Group, why IRA Financial Group? Obviously, we're attorney-owned and operated. I'm a tax attorney. I have a master tax law from NYU. You know, I've worked at some of the largest law firms in the country. So you want to make sure you're working with tax attorneys. I mean, it's as simple as that. You want to make sure that you work with professionals who understand what they're doing. I'm not going to go too much into our services. I don't really want to focus more on the solo 401k plan. But just note that we'll take care of everything for you. We would set up everything, the plan, the IRS opinion letter, help you move your funds tax-free to a new 401k plan, help you with the loan, help you with the beneficiary form, and also, obviously, make sure your plan remains in compliance. I'm going to take some questions now. We have about 20 minutes left, so I'm going to start with some questions. Okay, someone had a question about profit sharing, whether the $17,000 is included in the profit sharing. It is. The way the profit sharing is calculated is it's calculated on the compensation. Okay, so if you're self-employed, it's the net compensation, your Schedule C amount. So that Schedule C amount, assuming it's $100,000, the $17,000 deferral can come off it, but then the profit sharing is put on the total amount. Not, you don't minus the $17,000, which is a nice, obviously a nice thing, because that's still your compensation. Again, the $17,000 still, all you're doing is getting a tax deduction, but it's still your compensation. So that number is still in the calculation. So that's obviously a nice advantage of doing the solo 401k plan is you get the employee deferral and the profit sharing contribution together. It's 20% if you're self-employed, 25% in the case of a C or S corporation. There's a replay of this. It will be on our website probably starting tomorrow, February 3rd. So you can just go to the website and the webinar page, and anyone could access it at any time, listen to it at their convenience. So if you missed this, you have to leave early. No sweat. You'll be able to listen to it at your convenience. You can forward it around to friends if you'd like. Not a problem. With a solo 401k, if you want to invest in real estate, do you have to use the loan feature? Can the manager write a check to invest directly? Great question. So you can do both. You can do the loan, and if you did the loan, you will be making the real estate investment, not your 401k. So once you do the loan, it's like you doing it yourself. So if your name is John Smith, the purchase would be in the name of John Smith. If you did not do the loan and you invested directly through the 401k plan would make the investment. And, of course, since a 401k plan is tax-exempt under Section 401 of the tax code, meaning it doesn't pay tax, a nice advantage of the 401k doing the investment is it doesn't pay, at least immediately, tax on any of the income and gains. The beneficiary of the 401k would only pay it once the distribution is taken. So that's obviously one advantage. Now, why do people do the loan? Some people would rather do it personally for whatever reason, or they want to use the loan and team up with themselves personally. So they'll take the $50,000, for example, and team up with themselves personally and own it personally, whereas others won't do the loan for real estate. They'll leave it for other purposes, and they'll use the 401k as the vehicle for making the investments. But you have choices either way. The loan just gives you a whole lot of flexibility. Can the funds be for the checking account be deposited into an FDIC-insured account? Absolutely. You can open this 401k checking account at Wells Fargo, for example. So you absolutely get an FDIC-insured bank. We'd help you open the account the account would be in the name of your plan, and you'd be able to do it that way. Someone asked about exit strategy for real estate. Who can the company sell the properties to legally? Okay, so if your 401k, it's a good question. If your 401k owns the property, of course your exit strategy is you can sell the property. Now, who can you sell it to? Well, you got to be mindful of the disqualified person prohibited transaction rules. So you basically want to sell it to any third party other than a disqualified person. So other than yourself and any of your lineal descendants. So other than yourself, grandparents, parents, children, spouse, daughter-in-law, son-in-law, or any entity you control. So you can't just set up an LLC and sell it to that LLC, because the IRS will look through it and treat you as the owner of the LLC. So exit strategy is you can sell it to any third party, anyone in the world, just not a disqualified person. Someone asked, this is my second year starting a new business. I did not have profits in 11. I hope to have profits in 2012. Can I contribute 17 for 2011 and 17 for 2012? Great question. And this, I get this a lot. You can only make contributions if you have salary, if you have income. So if you earn zero in 11, you can't make any contributions. So, and this is very important. So I always mention the maximums, 50,000 if you're under 50 and 55.5 if you're over 50. Well, you got to earn income to make a contribution. So if you earn $10,000 in 11, you can only defer $10,000. So if you defer $17,000, you can only defer $17,000. So how would that happen? Let's say 2012. Let's give a couple examples. In 2012, you earned $15,000. Well, you can defer all that as an employee deferral, no problem. Let's say you deferred earned $40,000 in salary. Well, you can defer, as we know, if you're under 50, $17,000 this year. Just so you know, 2011, the number was 16.5. It actually was increased for 2012. So 2011, 16.5 plus a $5,500 catch up. And it was 40, so a total of 49 or 54.5. 2012, it went up to 17 and 55.5. So if you own $40,000 this year and you're self-employed, you'd be able to defer 17 if you're under 50, and then 20% of 40, which is 8, giving you 25,000. So you're still good because you're under the $40,000 limit. If you're in $1 million, you can only defer 50,000. So you're capped on what you make, and then if you start making a lot of money, you're capped on the maximums. That's a great question. If I'm a sole owner filing a Schedule C, so like a sole proprietorship or a single-member LLC, okay, $17,000 employee deferral, I do not have to be on payroll to put the $17,000 in. That's correct. You technically don't have to be a payroll employee. You have to obviously earn the income, and this brings me to a very important question that I wanted to address. When do these contributions due, right? When do you have to do this by? So if you're self-employed or a Schedule C taxpayer, like a single-member LLC, you can make the employee deferrals and profit-sharing contributions up until you file your return, so April 15th typically, if you get an extension October 15th. If you're a corporation, okay, you have to make the employee deferral, the 17, by December 31, because you're a W-2 employee. The profit-sharing component still can be made by April 15th, because the IRS understands as a business, you may not know, you know, how profitable you're going to be. So there's a cutoff. If you're self-employed, it's by April 15th. If it's a C or S corp, it's December 31 for employee. Profit-sharing, you have up to April 15th. So that's a very good question. Thank you. Someone asked, can you have a company with no employees and solo 401k and have a totally separate company that has employees? Another great question. It's basically the 80% control group. If you own more than 80% of both companies, you're going to have to – you can't have a solo plan because you have employees. You're going to have a regular 401k plan, which will require you to have be bonded as a trustee and satisfy ERISA and the Safe Harbor 401k rules. So a whole lot more administrative requirements. One important thing of a solo 401k plan is solo 401k plan is technically not under ERISA. And ERISA is a body of law that was created back in the 70s by the Department of Labor to really protect employees against employers. So ERISA was created to make sure that employers don't set up retirement plans and exclude employees, or make sure that they get the benefits they're entitled to by law. And ERISA is a very important body of law. It also creates a lot of administrative requirements and burdens on the company. So because a solo 401k plan has no common law employees, there's really no purpose of ERISA. So ERISA doesn't apply, which obviously is helpful. Someone asks, is a house flipping situation, is the capital gains taxable under this plan, or is it sheltered? Well, good question. I mentioned this falls under the area of unrelated business taxable income. Okay, because house flipping, depending on how many you do, could be seen as a business, could be seen as inventory. If you're doing one or two or three, probably not. If you're doing 5, 8, 10, 20, 30, the IRS may look at this as a business. And if it's a business, we know now, going through the unrelated business taxable income rules, that a tax may be imposed on that income. So that's something that needs to be considered. It's really a fact and circumstances test, something you want to certainly speak to a tax professional about, who can discuss that with you in detail. But if it's not considered UBTI, meaning it's treated as a passive investment, not a business, all the income and gains from that transaction will flow back into the 401k tax-free. So really the issue of how it's treated is it a active business? If it's not, and it's treated as a passive investment, not an active business for unrelated business taxable income purposes, then you're fine. You don't have to pay tax, and that money goes tax-free back into the plan. Someone asks the website, irafinancialgroup.com, www.irafinancialgroup.com. There's a lot of interesting information. We also have contribution calculators, so you can actually calculate your contributions to the plan if you want. It gives you the maximum you can make. You can put in your age, type of company you have. It's just a new feature we just introduced, and you'll get the total amount you can contribute. So if you earn $20,000, you'll type that in, and it will give you the exact amount after Social Security and other taxes of the amount you can contribute. So it's a really good tool. Someone asked, I have both a Roth, an IRA and a Roth. Do I need to have two separate solo plans? Good question. The plan's adopted by the business. So you'd have one plan, but you may want to have two separate bank accounts under the solo 401k plan. You're not required to by law. You can have one plan account, but the plan administrator would be required to complete the plan administrator would be required to keep the accounting of the separate pre-tax and Roth funds. So I usually encourage people to set up two separate accounts. It's a lot easier, and probably will save you some administrative issues. Someone asked, the 5500EZ, is the asset considered the value of the real estate purchased or the value of the company that was formed to purchase? The 5500EZ is the value of the asset of the 401k. So if the asset is the real estate, it's the fair market value. If the asset is the LLC, then it's what the LLC holds. It could be real estate, cash, whatever that is. So it's the value of the asset. If the 401k is holding real estate directly, it's the fair market value of the real estate. If it owns an LLC interest, it's the fair market value of the LLC, which may be the real estate plus cash or minus debt, whatever that may be. Someone asked, do I have to pay myself salary from S-Corp to make contributions to the solo? If yes, what is the minimum salary? Well, this is a really, really important question, actually. I get a lot of these questions when it comes to S-Corps, because as some of you may know, S-Corps, there's really two ways to get paid. You can take a distribution, which is not subject to self-employment tax. So a lot of accountants or tax professionals say, take as much distributions as you can, take as small amount of salary as you can. That's technically true. You do have to take a reasonable salary. The IRS is cautiously looking at this. They are not happy. They actually attacked John Edwards maybe 7 or so years ago when he took enormous distributions, very little salary. So it's something you need to consider. However, if you want to make contributions to the plan, it has to be salary. It's got to be self-employment income. Dividend distributions from an S-Corp are not salary. So what's salary? It's basically compensation for services, like a lawyer, a doctor, a consultant. It's not alimony. It's not Social Security. It's not dividends. It's not capital gains, interest. It's actually income you receive for performance services, so management activity. It's not rental income. So in order to make contributions, you would need to pay yourself from the S-Corp a salary, something that you pay self-employment tax on, not a dividend distribution. And that's an important distinction. So what's the minimum amount? I mean, that's up to you. That's you'd want to probably talk to your tax professional, make sure it's reasonable comparing to distributions you're taking, but you would need to pay a salary. Someone asked to have a 401k plan already from another company. Okay. They don't really offer legal services. Do you offer legal services for other 401ks? We typically don't. The reason is I don't know the other 401k plans or the other attorneys. We know our plan. We can certainly provide you some service when it comes to general federal or tax questions. But if it's questions directed to a specific plan issue, we typically don't get involved. But if you have questions about this, call us. I mean, 800-472-0646, 800-472-0646. I'm extension 12, so anyone can call me again. My name is Adam Bergman. My email is Adam, B as in Bergman, so A-D-A-M, B as in boy, at irafinancialgroup.com. Again, Adam, B as in boy, or Bergman, Adam B at irafinancialgroup.com. You can also email info at irafinancialgroup.com. We'll get back to you. We'll try within 24 hours. Recall us if you have questions. We'd love to try to help anyone we can. Someone asked, can I trade on stock market with 401k? Absolutely. You can set up an account of Fidelity, for example, and you can trade, or Scottrade, TD Ameritrade, and you can trade stock with your solo 401k. Absolutely. You mentioned teaming up with yourself on real estate. Doesn't that fall under the disqualified person rule? You're absolutely correct, sir, 100%. That's why you'd want to do a loan, because the loan's exempted from the prohibited transaction rule. So if you wanted to team up with yourself, you wouldn't want to use your 401k and your personal money. I agree with you. That would be a prohibited transaction. What you could do is take a $50,000 loan, take that personally, and then you can buy real estate personally without involving your solo plan. But that's a very good question. Someone asked, is in that case capital gains taxable? Yes. If you do the transaction personally, then you're subject to all the personal income taxes, whether it's capital gains or interest income, dividends, whatever it may be. If you do it through a 401k, there's no taxable income, because a 401k is, as we know, tax exempt under Section 401 of the tax code. So there are no tax ramifications for making the transaction. Someone asks, can you rent a property in a solo 401k? 100%, of course. 401k will own the real estate. The real estate could be put into another LLC wholly owned by the 401k, which some clients like to do in order to gain limited liability protection, because a trust is not a limited liability vehicle. So some people like to form a special purpose LLC owned by the 401k, which the real estate investment will be made through. If not, the tenant will pay the rent straight to the 401k plan, so ABC LLC 401k plan, or 401k trust, and the trustee will deposit it into the bank account. The rental income is tax-free. It's exempt from UBTI. Rental income is not an active business income, just like capital gains, royalties, dividends, interest. Rental income is exempt from UBTI, meaning there's no tax. Same with capital gains. The term capital gains may not be appropriate, because technically there's no tax anyways. So as long as it's held by the 401k, there'll be no tax. Next question, someone asks, someone has a new business and no profit. Can you still roll over from an IRA or 401k, or need profit? Well, again, I think you need the expectation of profit. The business doesn't technically have to be profitable today. I think there needs to be self-employment activity. If you want to show that, hey, this is a business that anticipates earning profit or generating revenue, So there needs to be self-employment activity. You need to be doing something, marketing your business, at least in the anticipation of profit. I think that's really the requirement, not necessarily whether you are potentially profitable. How do I take distributions at age 59 and a half? I own real estate. Great question. You don't have to, okay? You only have to start taking distributions once you hit 70 and a half. You're not required to take distributions if you are 59 and a half. You may. How do you do it with a rental property or a real estate property? That's difficult. Now, you can take the cash, the rental income, as a distribution if you want. But if you wanted to take the rental property as a distribution, you can't just take a piece of it. Unfortunately, you can't just take the garage or a bedroom. Land, you may be able to rezone and take a portion of it. That's possible. But with the actual house or building, you can't do that. So it's all or nothing. You'd have to take the entire thing as a distribution, pay tax on it, no penalty because you're over 59 and a half, but pay tax on the whole property. Land, you may be able to rezone and take a portion of as a distribution, but you may just want to take out the income of the property, not the actual property, as a distribution. Someone asked, if me and my spouse are both officers of the company, what is the maximum contribution? Well, it's not based off officers, it's based on salary. It's all about salary, self-employment income. So you both can be officers and earn no money, and you can't make any contributions. So it's all based off your salary. That's the key. Does my contribution reduce what I have to pay for social and Medicare? No, you still have to pay Social Security and Medicare. The contribution reduces the federal income tax. It's a federal income tax deduction, not a Social Security exemption or a state income tax deduction. Someone asked, if you have multiple businesses, can you, like one corp, another Schedule C, can you open several 401k plans, each with a 17 contribution? Good question. You can open multiple plans for multiple businesses. You can never go above the 50,000 if you're under 50. Once you hit 17 on the employee deferral, you're done with the employee deferral. So you can't do 17 again with another business, but you can do the profit sharing going forward. So if you have two businesses, one earns 17 and the other earns 20, the one that earns 17, you can do the elective deferral, get rid of the 17. The one that earns 20, since you already ate up your elective employee deferral, all you can do is the profit sharing. So you're stuck with 20% of 20, which is 4,000. So you'll be able to do 4,000 for that business plus 17 for your other. So that addresses that. Someone asked, I would like to transfer gold from my SEP into a solo. How do you do that without triggering a 1099-R? That's not a problem at all. You set up the 401k plan. We would do an in-kind rollover that would notify your IRA custodian that the assets of the IRA are moving in-kind tax-free to a new 401k. You probably want to hold the metals at a depository or some type of financial institution, so you're not allowed to hold them personally, and that's done all the time. It's the same if you transferred stock or real estate. It would just be an in-kind transfer. Someone asked for 2011, when does the plan have to be established? Technically in 2011. So you're probably too late with respect to that. Someone asked, can your solo 401k plan lend money to an LLC of which you are a limited partner? Again, that's a fact and circumstances. Depending on your ownership, but probably not. There's a famous case, Rollins v. Commissioner. This guy, Mr. Rollins, was only 8% shareholder of a business. He used his 401k plan, lent that money business. Only an 8% shareholder of a 75-person shareholder business. IRS said he couldn't prove he didn't personally benefit from that transaction. Couldn't prove it wasn't prohibited, and they deemed it prohibited. So maybe I'm overly conservative, but I take the position if you own 1% of a business, you shouldn't have your 401k anywhere near it. Someone said, I was considering the IRA LLC for real estate, but it seems a solo 401k would be a better option. Can you speak to this? Absolutely. If you can fit in the solo 401k, it's a much better plan for all the reasons I mentioned. You can make high contributions. You can borrow against it. It's easy to administer. High Roth contributions. You don't need to form an LLC. And this is important, especially in states like California. California imposes an annual franchise fee of $800. Okay, Illinois is $600 to file. Massachusetts, $500 to file. Tennessee is $300 each year. If you can set up a 401k plan, you'll save the LLC filing fee and get all those advantages I mentioned. Why not? I mean, you can still buy the same investments. You can, in addition, buy life insurance. That's one thing you can't do with an IRA. And the only, I guess the only drawback is you'd say limited liability protection. We can always get insurance on the property you're buying to cover yourself, like an umbrella policy. Or you can set up an LLC that owns the property if you really are worried about limited liability. But you still get the loan feature, high contributions, the Roth feature. So, yeah, I would totally, if you can fit in it, I always suggest doing the solo plan, absolutely. There's a lot of more questions. I'll get to a few. One more time for the website, please, irafinancialgroup.com, www.irafinancialgroup.com. Someone asked, how does the plan compare to another company? Again, I can only speak about our plan. I think the nice thing with the IRA Financial Group is you're working with tax attorneys. Other companies, I'm assuming, have their 401k plan opinion letters, so I'm assuming their plans are approved by the IRS, and their plans allow you to do the loan and the investment features, and assuming that all is correct, then what really separates us is who we are. I mean, if you set up a retirement plan, wouldn't you want to use an attorney? I mean, why would you not want to use someone who specializes in this? To me, it's really a no-brainer. So, you know, if there's other attorneys doing it and you have to choose between them and us, that's, definitely another an issue. But if you're deciding between IRA Financial Group and a company that can't offer you a tax attorney to talk to immediately on the phone, my position is, why wouldn't you use a tax attorney? This is what we do. This is what we know. Can you purchase annuities through a 401k? Yeah, technically, I'm not sure the benefit of that, but you could, 100%. Someone asked, when you make contribution to the plan, does it come from the sole proprietorship company that originally sponsored it? Yes and no. If you're doing your employee deferrals, you can have that company just siphon off the contribution to your plan, and the annual profit sharing will come from the company. So technically, yes. Someone asked, can you build a house on the empty lot owned by a 401k? You can build a house. You need to have someone doing it for you because you can't provide services to the plan. You can't live in the house. You could rent it out to a third party, and if you're doing a lot of that, that issue of UBTI will come up because that potentially can trigger a tax. Can I leave my 401k to my children when I die? 100%. There's a designation of beneficiary form that will help you complete. You can leave it to a spouse, children, a trust, the normal requirement of distributions or RMD rules would apply, based off your age. Someone said, can I borrow $50,000 from a self-directed IRA? No, you can't even borrow 1 cent. That's a prohibited transaction. That's one of the nice things about the solo plan is you can make high contributions. Someone asked, if I own 20% of my family trust, if I own 20% of my family trust owns 80, is that okay? No, I think that's probably a prohibited transaction. I take the position that you should not partner with yourself in any respect. I think the IRS has been arguing or could argue that this is a self-dealing transaction. Don't think it's worth the risk. If you need to do it personally, do the loan. $50,000 is a great start. If your spouse has retirement money, that can get you maybe $100,000. This goes also the same. I had a question about starting a business with a 401k. My suggestion is do the solo 401k, borrow the $50,000. Probably your best bet, cleanest and easiest way of doing it. Someone says, if I buy a rental property with my solo 401k, can I hire my boyfriend to manage it and work on it? Technically, yes, your boyfriend's not disqualified. If he becomes your husband, that may be an issue, but technically, yes. How is the plan affected if you hire a person, an assistant, for example, a year or two into the plan? Good question. Nothing happens except the solo plan just turns into a regular 401k plan. So we'd have to change your plan docs and then get you into a regular 401k, which would then push you into ERISA and require or impose on you certain obligations as an employer, but it's absolutely possible. Someone asked, can you pay yourself and qualify for a solo 401k, or do you have to have a third party pay you? No, you can pay yourself. If you're self-employed, you can technically, if you have a management company that has real estate, you can pay yourself a management fee, so your company can pay you. Absolutely. There's a lot more questions. Let me stop here. If people want to continue asking questions, please feel free to email me at Adam, B as in Bergman, A-D-A-M, B at IRAfinancialgroup.com. Email info at IRAfinancialgroup.com anytime. Feel free to call me, 800-472-0646, extension 12, 800-472. 800-472-0646, extension 12. Anytime, I will do my best to get back to everyone. Thank you, everyone, for participating. I hope it's been helpful. If people have ideas for additional webinars, email me, call me. I'd love to get feedback. I'm trying to do this twice a month. We've gotten a great response. So I'm going to try to educate people about the benefits of self-directed retirement solutions, whether it's a self-directed IRA or a solo 401k. But basically, the solo 401k since 2002 has become the most popular retirement plan for the self-employed. It's a wonderful plan. It's easy to administer. It's not expensive. Once it's set up, you're pretty much set for good. You can have checkbook control. You can borrow against it, do Roth contributions. You can do incredible things with it, and also, obviously, make high contributions and save for your retirement, which is so important. So please go through our website, www.irafinancialgroup.com. It's got a lot of information. We introduced a new contribution calculator, a loan calculator. So there's a lot of features there that are helpful, a lot of info on privative transactions. If you have specific questions, let us know. Me or another attorney will be happy to answer any of your questions. And thanks again. Have a wonderful evening. The webinar will be available on our website shortly. And feel free to listen anytime or tell your friends. Thanks, and have a wonderful evening. Thank you.